This is our second lesson on the Gospel of Mark. Last time, we saw that Jesus Christ is God's Son, not Caesar. In fact, Son of God was a political title, one of many, like Lord and God and Savior, that were used by the Roman emperors. But the true authority, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, is Jesus Christ. It's not the emperor. And so we see there's actually a political theme running through all of Mark's gospel. That should not surprise us because Mark's gospel is written to people living in the Roman world who are well familiar with these things. In the book of Exodus, we find an interesting verse where Moses is speaking to Pharaoh. He's relaying the words of God. Thus says the Lord, Israel is my firstborn son. And I say to you, let my son go that he may serve me. That was in Exodus 4:22. Israel was described in that passage as God's son. Now you may say, but Israel was very large, there are many people. But it functioned as a son of God. And the title of today's message is God's Two Sons. All right? You'll figure out who the other one is if you haven't already. When we come to the Gospel of Mark, in chapter 1, there is a very specific context. Beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in Isaiah the prophet, Behold, I send my messenger before your face who shall prepare your way. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, Prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. This takes us to the book of Isaiah, chapter 40. And what is that context? In Isaiah 40, Israel has been in exile in Babylon, and it's time to return. God is making provision for the people to travel from Babylon. It's a long way, all the way back to Israel, those who are willing. And that's the highway. It's through the wilderness as they come into the promised land once again. Now, there's a parallel that Mark is making here. Because it's Jesus who follows. It's not the people of Israel here. They will follow Jesus. But in Mark chapter 1, the way is being prepared for the Lord Jesus Christ. So Israel was returning from exile. This happened in the 6th century before Christ. But there's a parallel here with a different Son of God. Because Israel is God's Son. We know that. But Jesus Christ is God's Son. Let me say something about the language of fulfillment. In 1:15, Jesus was preaching the gospel, saying, The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. We see other passages similar, like in 14:49, Day after day I was with you in the temple teaching, and you did not seize me, but let the scriptures be fulfilled. And Jesus has a strong sense of the scriptures being fulfilled. What does that even mean? Well, we know that in Matthew's gospel, Jesus says that he has a very positive attitude towards the law. He did not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. Now, the law, of course, is words God. It's God's word for us. It's not God's law for us. It was God's law for the Jewish people, but it's still God's word for us. There's much we can learn. Jesus came to fulfill it. And this is not just fulfillment of prophecy. Okay, the Messiah is born in Bethlehem. I'll be born in Bethlehem. No, he fulfilled it by obeying it, by living it out, by showing God's true intent. So you could say Jesus was God's obedient son, whereas Israel was God's disobedient son. Before I apply this to us, I'd like to talk a bit more about the parallels. Now, this parallel between Israel and Jesus, it's in the Gospel of Mark. You'll find it in Luke also. It's even clearer in Matthew. Now, that shouldn't be surprising because Matthew is written for Jews, for Jewish Christians, for people from that background. Matthew points out, for example, out of Egypt I called my son. He refers to the prophet Hosea. Hosea says, out of Egypt I called my son. And he applies that to Jesus. Well, Jesus and Joseph and Mary were briefly in Egypt. But Jesus comes out of Egypt, just as Israel came out of Egypt. What else? Well, Israel went through the water of the sea. Jesus goes through the water, baptism, and that's in Mark chapter 1. Jesus is tempted in the desert for 40 days, just as Israel had been tested in the desert, but for 40 years. Afterwards, the Israelites come into Gentile territory. That is, they come into the promised land, crossing from east to west, and coming into the land that God promised them, the land of Canaan. Jesus, after he is tempted and does not fail like the Israelites, he actually succeeds. He lives righteously. Jesus also comes into the Gentile territory, to Galilee. That's a land full of, it's called Galilee of the Gentiles. There are Jewish people there, but it's very cosmopolitan. If you come with me on some of my tours to Israel, I'll show you. But there's definitely a difference. So Jesus becomes a light to the nations. The Apostle Paul, for example, in Romans and in his speeches in Acts, speaks of God's Messiah as a light to the nations. Israel was supposed to be that light. Israel was. But Jesus actually was the light to the nations. Nations, Gentiles, same word. Peoples. Okay, it's the same word. So Jesus is truly following and fulfilling the law. In Mark, we see he claims the right to interpret it, the discussion on the Sabbath, and he is the Lord of the Sabbath. He has not only the right to interpret it, he challenges those religious leaders who have replaced the Torah, God's law, with tradition. And there's that encounter in chapter 7 where he challenges the Pharisees who are saying, give money to the temple and then it's okay if you don't honor your parents. In biblical culture, you honor your parents. You respect your parents and grandparents. The true meaning of the law and prophets is understood only through Jesus. This comes out in Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9 is the transfiguration. So Jesus is on the mountain with three disciples. And then Elijah is there, but also Moses. So Moses and Elijah representing the law and the prophets. And a voice comes from heaven. This is my son, listen to him. And soon the cloud is gone and Moses and Elijah are gone. So you've got the gospel, Jesus, you've got the law and the prophets, Moses and Elijah. And the Father says, listen to him. He's not saying Moses is wrong. He's not saying pay no attention to the prophets. But if you want to understand the world, you want to understand the Bible, you want to truly understand the fulfillment of the law, listen to Jesus. That's the lens that will bring things into clarity. You'll notice I'm wearing glasses, right? I got these when I was 10 years old. I was so embarrassed. I would never wear them. And when I played sports, I wouldn't wear my glasses. And so I was always kicking the ball to the wrong person. I would kick the ball to the wrong team. But with these, things are really good. I can see very well. Actually, better than most people with these on. Okay, I'm reading my book titles. They're about 8 meters away from me, the other end of my office, and I can see clearly. We need Jesus. Jesus is like a lens for us. And there's much more on this comparison and this theme of fulfillment in the book of Romans. But this is much more than we can look at. Let me mention two other passages, and then we'll need to apply this. So God has two sons, the obedient son and the disobedient son. Remember in Matthew's gospel, there's a parable. It's the parable of the two sons. I guess you could name it whatever you want to name it. You know, it's very short. So why don't I read it? What do you think? Matthew 20 and 28. A man had two sons. He went to the first and said, son, go and work in the vineyard today. He answered, I will not. But afterward, he repented and went. And he went to the second son and said the same. And he answered, I go, sir. But he did not go. Which of the two did the will of the Father? And they said, the first. Jesus said to them, truly I say to you, the tax collectors and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness. You did not believe him. But the tax collectors and harlots believed him. And even when you saw it, you did not afterward repent and believe him. So here, Jesus tells a parable of two sons, but the disobedient son is connected with Israel. We also see the older son and the younger son in Luke 15, the parable of the lost son, Luke 15, 11. So the older son who Sadly, he was not celebrating. He was not taking advantage of this great relationship with his father. That's Israel. And the young son, you could say, in some sense, that's the non-Israelites, Gentiles. But Israel there is the Son of God. And if you understand that parallel, this is a key that will open up many doors and windows for you as you study God's word. This parallel will really make a lot more sense of the Gospels and of the apostolic message and the letters, even some of the difficult passages. Okay, so we have these two sons, and there are many points in which Jesus's motion from Egypt through the water to the desert, temptation, into the Gentile territory, fulfilling all righteousness, is parallel to Israel leaving Egypt through the water in the desert, being tested, not good, going into the Gentile territory, but taking it, but not really taking it. They're supposed to take the land, but instead, you know what they mainly did? They just married the people who lived there. Intermarriage was a huge issue. Oh, can't talk about that anymore. Well, of course, we have another aspect, another angle in which we could say we are sons of God. All of us are sons and daughters of God. You know, we come to the Father. So think of your own journey and think of Jesus's journey. We come to the Father. We need to leave spiritual Egypt, right, the world. Resist temptation, right? And, you know, we go through the water, but just getting baptized, it's not the end of the story. You'll be tested. Resist a temptation. Have a sense of mission. Go into the world. Go into the nations. And this can help us have a biblical view of the universe and history and how to live and not be stubborn. Israel was stubborn. That is, they resisted God's will. So, in conclusion, let me ask a question. Two questions. First, do I now better understand the relationship of Jesus Christ to ancient Israel? Is this making more sense? One was God's disobedient son. The other was his obedient son, who always pleased the Father. Jesus fulfilled God's plan for Israel. It's so important to know that, or we'll lose the Old Testament. We'll lose the meaning and the richness of the Old Testament. And the Old Testament, you know, that's the first three quarters, 75% of the Bible. Second question, in my own life, which son am I going to be? The obedient son or the disobedient son? Am I going to resist the world or give in to temptation? Could be materialism, very strong pull. Could be sexual temptation. It could just be laziness. It could be gluttony, overeating. It could be almost anything. Am I going to resist the world and accept God's will in my life? Let him use me to reach out to others? That's what Jesus did. I mean, you read Jesus' life. It's all about people. Yes, he spends time alone with the Father, but he's with people. It's about being with people. It's about training, interacting, showing them how to live. We have two sons, an obedient son, a disobedient son. Which son will I be? That's a really good question.